followers of Jesus Christ are called to demonstrate genuine love in deed and in truth.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I want to try a little experiment here this morning. There was a novel that was written in the 1980s, and then it was made into a movie in 2007. And I've asked a number of people if they had ever heard of this, and so I want to try it now. So in just a moment, I'm going to put the name of that novel on your screen there. And if you have heard of it, I'd like you to raise your hands out there. Okay, here we go. So here was the name of the novel right there. It was called Love in the Time of Cholera. And you know, I don't see any hands out there going up. So as I suspected, not too many of us know that, have heard of that. Now, what it is it's a love story that is a romantic love story that is set in the time of an epidemic, cholera. And I have to admit, that doesn't sound very romantic. Would that be your first choice for what to name a novel? I don't think so. It doesn't sound very romantic at all. And by the way, I'm not endorsing the story. I'm not endorsing the novel or the film. But you might wonder, what does that have to do with us here today? What does that have to do with this message? Well, because we are living in a time of an epidemic here, and we want to talk about love in the time of coronavirus. And what I want us to see as we look at our text in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18, is that followers of Jesus Christ are called to demonstrate genuine love in deed and in truth. So our message today isn't a romantic love story, but rather it's a God's love story. That we, as followers of Jesus, are called to demonstrate God's love, agape love, as followers of Jesus always, but especially at times like now, in a crisis time. Now, before we look at our text here, I want us to see a little context here. Here the Apostle John is writing to believers about the importance of rejecting false teaching and demonstrating real life-changing faith in Jesus. He tells them that they must hold firm to truth, to solid doctrine, to right teaching about Jesus, about who the person of Jesus is and what he came to do and what it means to truly believe in him and follow him. And so he tells them, and he tells us today as well, that if we are genuine followers of Jesus, if we have genuine faith, then that's going to be demonstrated in our lives in some ways. One of these is through growth in personal righteousness, growth in character and Christ-likeness. Now, that's a very long process. It's a lifelong process. It's certainly not about sinless perfection, because I haven't arrived there. None of us have. But real growth in Jesus is going to be seen in personal righteousness. But it's also shown then in genuine love, that we love one another in deed and truth, not in empty talk, in words only. Now that's important always, but I think it's especially important at a time like now. So if you have your Bibles there at home, would you open them up there to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And here John is speaking. He says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So here we see genuine love, that authentic, real deal love is demonstrated in action, not just talk. It is sacrificial, and that it is giving, not mere words from our mouths. So as we looked at that text there, I want us to see a few things from it. First of all, we see that genuine love is evidence of genuine faith. Genuine love is evidence of genuine faith. John says, you have heard from the beginning. That is from right from the beginning, from the earliest days of their faith. They have heard what? That we must love one another. Now here the Apostle John is saying this. He was there in that room when Jesus said to him and to his other disciples, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Now we know far before that, the Word of God says, love your neighbor as yourself. The first and the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. But now Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. He's saying we take that love and we ramp it up to the kind of love that Jesus showed. And what kind of love was that? It was ultimate. It was sacrificial. It was ultimate giving. So you have heard from the beginning, love one another. So we love believers as Jesus has loved us, but we love all people. We love our neighbors as ourselves. And John says, don't be like Cain and Abel. You remember in Genesis there were Cain and Abel. Each of them brought a sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with Abel's sacrifice. But he rejected Cain's because he knew the hearts of each man. So he rejected Cain's sacrifice, and Cain became very angry, and he was jealous. He was envious of his brother, and he rose up and murdered him. So John says, don't be like that, caring about envy and bitterness and hatred in our hearts. Rather, show real, genuine love. And as I said, we are all growing in love. I certainly still am. But we cannot claim to be real followers of Jesus and then hate people. We cannot hate anyone, especially then our fellow believers. So genuine love is evidence of genuine faith. Genuine love then too, it meets the needs of others. It meets the needs of others. John tells us Jesus laid down his life for us. There is no greater demonstration of love than Jesus Christ and laying down his life for us. Not just the physical suffering of the crucifixion and dying, but also, though, that spiritual agony of taking on the punishment for our sins, taking on all of that on himself and doing it out of love for us. There's no greater demonstration of love than that. So John says, well, we must lay down our lives for one another. Now, we may not be called to lay down our lives physically in that way for one another. We may, but we are all called to lay down our lives to serve one another unselfishly in the way that Jesus did. And one of the ways that we can do that then is by meeting practical needs. You know, right now as we are here in our homes, as we have this stay-at-home order there, I know we're allowed to go out to get groceries and prescriptions, essential services, things like that. But, you know, there are some folks who may be stuck and are unable to do that, or it's not wise for them to be going out and about. So this is a way that we can serve them by doing things like that for them to help them. A little bit more on that in just a moment here. But genuine love then meets the needs of other people. It also then is action. It's action. It is not empty talk. So God's love does not truly abide in us if it's all talk with no action. But rather, let us love in deed and in truth. You know, I was talking with a friend the other day who's taking advantage of this time to do a little more reading, and he's reading through the scriptures in the New Testament in chronological order there. And so he's talking about Luke, Acts, and then two of the earliest books of the New Testament are James and Galatians. And I think that's interesting for us. There's a lesson in that for us, because Galatians emphasizes that we are saved by faith, period. It's not our works. It's not our deeds. These don't save us. They don't earn us our salvation before God. It's faith. And on the other hand, we have the book of James, which emphasizes there our deeds and our works. And not that we're saved by those works, but that those works are evidence of real faith. And so we need to keep those two truths together and in balance here. So for you and me, let's not love just in talk. Let's not just claim we love others. Let's demonstrate it in deed and in truth. Now you might ask, so what? What do you want me to do with that message here? Well, sis, I want to remind us of where we started here when we said that followers of Jesus are called to demonstrate genuine love in deed and in truth. So what I would do for a few minutes here now is I want to talk about love in the time of coronavirus, some do's and some don'ts. Now, I'm not here to talk about things like washing our hands. We all know we need to wash our hands, right? And by the way, I discovered the need for hand moisturizer. Discovered that real quick, and thanks to the person who loaned me some of that. Very much appreciative. I used it, and then when I was able to finally get some, I gave her hers back because I didn't want that girly smell on my hands, so she was glad to take it back for me then. But so I'm not going to talk about hand washing and wiping down surfaces and that, or even social distancing. Although when it comes to social distancing, I do have a little practical tip for you on that. Sometimes we are going to need to go out. And you need to go out to get some groceries, pick up a prescription, get some gas in the car, whatever it might be. And as you're doing that, you're going to encounter others. And we're being reminded to practice social distancing. And they say we need to maintain 6 feet. So I'm wondering, well, how do you know if it's always 6 feet? So here's what I'm going to be doing. And so I recommend it for you, too. I'm bringing a tape measure. I'm going to just have that with me all the time. And so I'm going to have my 6 feet here with that I maintain. Now, you know what I discovered? Look at this. Look how far 6 feet is. I mean, that is incredible, isn't that? So it's a little further than you think. So I'm just going to be like, like those old radar screens with the sweeping picture. So whenever I'm out and about, I'm just going to get my tape measure, and I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do a sweep like this of all the people around me there so that way then I know I'm practicing proper social distancing. And by the way, I'm going to go on the record here now too and tell you that I think that social distancing, you know how every year we have these new words that enter the dictionary, English dictionary? Social distancing is going to be the phrase that's going to be probably the most popular new addition to our dictionaries here now. So I'm not here to talk about that, though. I'm here to talk about some other kinds of coronavirus do's and don'ts. And here's the first one I think that we definitely need to do, and that is do pray. Do pray. You know, prayer changes things. Prayer changes you, and it changes me. And prayer, I don't understand, and the mystery of God's providence, how this all works, but, you know, prayer moves the hand of God in the world. I know a lot of people in this church believe that. And practice that. We've got some folks who are doing that now, who are praying. 9 o'clock last night did, and we're doing this all through text messaging there. So I'd encourage us all to pray, because prayer makes a difference. It moves the hand of God in the world. But here's another thing. It definitely changes our hearts, doesn't it? When we go into the presence of God and we lay down our burdens, our concerns before Him, prayer changes you. It changes me, and it moves God's hand in the world. So do pray. We want to pray for our leaders, for our medical workers, those who are sick, those who are providing these services. Pray for the lonely. You know, I've talked with some folks and some of our church family here who are really struggling with this. So we want to pray. Pray for them. Pray for those who are struggling. God is going to see you through. He's going to see all of us through. But do pray. And with that, then, do put your trust in God. Do put your trust in God. You know, I think we have all been reminded in a powerful way that we cannot put our trust and our confidence in the things of this world, can we? I know how many of you have had the courage to go on, maybe you have some retirement savings and you've gone in there and looked at that. How many of you have had the courage to do that? And if you did, believe me, you don't want to do it. If you haven't, don't do it. You don't want to look at it right now. But, you know, we get reminded then that we really aren't in charge of anything in this world, are we? We think we are. And then this little virus comes along, and look at the havoc that it has wreaked on our nation and the world like that. God and God alone is in control, and he alone is the one in whom we should put our trust and our confidence. So do put your trust in God. Also then, do be an instrument of hope. Do be an instrument of hope. This is a time when we can reach out to our neighbors, our loved ones, family, friends, and tell them then that not only do we not need to be afraid, but that we have eternal hope in Jesus. You know, that's the most wonderful message there is in the world, the hope of eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ. And you can have that hope too by faith in him. Be an instrument of hope to your family, to your neighbors, however you can communicate with them. Be an instrument of peace and hope. Also then, keep in touch. Keep in touch with others. You know, we are doing that here in our church, that we have taken all the members of our church family and we have divided them all up here among the elders and the deacons to be keeping in touch regularly, to check in and see if there's anything that we can do to help for any needs or prayer requests. And we're going to be sharing those then with one another. And some of them then we may share with our church family as well. But we need to keep in touch with others. You know, I have some friends. I know some of you are amazed that I have friends, but I do. I really do. And these friends that I have, there's one couple that I think this is going to be quite an interesting experiment here, because this couple is, one is the very embodiment or definition of an introvert, and the other is the very embodiment of an extrovert. And so when all this came down, we thought, okay, now the wife there, we're thinking, you know what, this is not good, but you know what, she's going to be just fine. She's not going to have any trouble holding up at home for a while with some good books or some movies to watch. She's going to be just fine. But our other friend, the husband and the couple, oh boy, this could be trouble. He lives and breathes and thrives on interaction with people and getting together with people. And so in all seriousness, you know, we are concerned about him. And as I think about that, you know, there's a lot of other people then too, that some, it's going to be tough not being able to go about our normal lives and get together with people the way we normally would. So as best as you can, keep in touch with us. Give them a call, social media, whatever. Get in touch and keep in touch with others. And then do meet practical needs. You know, that we can get out for those essential needs, but some may be limited in some ways, and they're going to need some help. Well, here's your chance to shine. There are a number of you that have already stepped up, and I've got a list of people who are willing to help in this church to meet practical needs then. And so if there is a need, I'm going to explain about a little bit more about that in just a moment. We want to step up for you and be here for you in that. And by the way, last time I mentioned something, I just want to mention again, you speaking of practical needs here, what is the deal with all the toilet paper runs, you know, and that? But, you know, we do have some here at the church, and I know there's some other folks too. So seriously, if you're really down to like your last couple of sheets, let us know, because we do have some here at the church then for you then. What else can we do? Well, we can be kind. Be kind to others. You know what? This is such a stressful time. Just a simple smile when you're out socially distancing. How about a smile or a kind word, an encouraging word for others? That's so important. And then this one too. And I tried this. I was out last night, officially sanctioned picking up a prescription, by the way. Okay. I was out last night and talking to some folks there at Meijer. And I was just expressing, I think it's important for us to express our gratitude to the people who are out, who are meeting our needs right now. And so I asked the person who had at the checkout line there, I said, how are you doing? You know, and thank that person for what he was doing. And I said, you know, how are people treating you? And he said, well, you know, a lot of people are really nice, but some people, you know what? They can be really nasty. Sometimes people are just nasty anyway, but then you put in a situation like this. So you know what? Be kind, but express gratitude and thanks to those who are serving us at this way, our public servants, whether it's in a grocery store, our first responders, whoever it may be, express your gratitude for them. Also, then I want you to know that you can call or email the church if you need prayer or any kind of practical assistance. If you have something that is just weighing down on your heart and you need prayer for that, then I want you to know that you can call the church or email us. And here's the information right there. There's our phone number right there. or you can call us there at our office at wlbiblechurch.org. We'll see that, and we will pray. We will respond to you. We will pray. And if there's a need that we can meet, if we're able to do that, then we're going to try to do that for you then. So those are some of the do's. Just a few quick don'ts. Don't watch the news all day, every day. Don't do it, folks. As many of you know, I'm a recovering news junkie, right? And it was not unheard of for me to watch hours and hours of news once upon a time. And I'm still tempted to do that occasionally. But I've had to get out of that for a while now. But especially now, folks, we don't need to be filling our minds with that. Yes, we need to keep informed. Be informed. Know what's going on. But don't be watching the news all day, every day. It's not good for us. Here's another thing. Don't hoard. You know what? Talking about loving people, loving your neighbor, we all need things. Don't go out. You don't have to go out and buy 5 years worth of supplies here with that. Get what you need so that others can get what they need as well. So don't hoard, please. And one more thing that I think that is very important for all of us now. I'd like you to watch this. That's the most important thing right there. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. You know, it was just as Providence would have it, it was just a couple of weeks ago when we looked at this very text, didn't we? And we're talking about all the things that can make us anxious. Well, we've had quite a situation develop since then that can make us anxious. So I want to just remind us again of what the Word of God says to us in that. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So God tells us, he doesn't just suggest it, he tells us, he commands us, do not be anxious. Why? Because we serve the true and the living God who holds our lives and all things in his hands, that we can put our confidence in him. And so instead of getting anxious, he says to come before him as our loving Heavenly Father, with an attitude and spirit of thanksgiving for who he is and for what he's done and for the promises that he has made, for the hope that we have, eternal hope. Come to him in a spirit of thanksgiving and lay down your burdens before him. Present your requests and your needs, and not just yours, but others, for others. Lay down those things before him, and then he promises what? That the peace, his peace, that surpasses all of our human understanding, will guard, will protect our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I think that's a wonderful promise for us to hold on to right now. It's an important commandment for us to obey, and it's a wonderful promise for us to claim right now. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray in everything, and then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. One final thought. There's something else. I said a little bit earlier that we've been talking about how the Father is seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I've been saying, hey, we don't need to be in this room together here to worship. Well, we're not this morning, are we? And we won't be for a little while. God willing, we're still going to be here live streaming for at least the next couple of Sundays through April 5th. And then we'll see what happens after that. But as long as we need to be here doing this, we will be. But we don't need then to be anxious. So I said, worship in spirit and truth, that has a new meaning. Here's another thing that has a new meaning. Before this, I was talking about our 2020 vision for the church. Been saying, God willing, what would we like to see God do with regard to our church's mission, our ministries, and our maintenance here? What do we want him to do? And I talked about how change can be difficult and how there's one person who really, really struggles with change in our church. Actually, there's a few of them. I'm not going to name names right now, but you know who you are. And I know for a fact one of you is watching right now. But we get nervous about change. And so I said, hey, anytime I have to tell this person about a change coming up, I phrase it first with this. And I think this has taken on new meaning here for us now. Do not freak out. Do not freak out. God has this. God has this. He has you and me in his hand. We can trust him, and he will see us through us. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that we can put our confidence and our trust in you. God, I would pray for those in our community now, in our church family, out in the community of Wonder Lake and the neighboring communities, all across this land, people, Lord, that are feeling deeply anxious. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would minister to them, would touch their hearts and their minds, that there would be some, many, Lord, who do not know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself through this, that they would come to know you, that they would come to know your peace, that they would come to have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, show us then how we can be the church now. Lord, I thank you for the people here, for Jerry and Kurt and Renee and Ralph, Caleb. Thank you, Lord, for all that they are doing here. And I pray, Lord, if you will, that we will be able to continue to minister in this way. So, Lord, teach us not to be anxious, but to trust you in all things. We trust you to meet our needs. We're asking you then to help us to be instruments of your peace and your grace in this crazy time. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.